Whatever ancestor had paid for the geneered metabolic improvements which increased his life expectancy had obviously stinted on the cosmetic side. More lightning bolts stabbed down out of the smothering cloud blanket. He counted to four before he heard the thunder. If this goes on much longer, even the puddles will develop puddles, he thought bleakly. There was a beep from the door, and it slid open. His neural mnemonics told him it was his executive aide, Terence Smith. Colin swiveled his chair back round to the desk. Terence Smith was 35, a tall, elegant man with thick black hair and a firm jaw. Today he was dressed in knee-length grey shorts and a green short-sleeved shirt. His weight was never anything less than optimum. The rumour around Colin's staff said Smith had bedded half of the women in the administration office. "Meteorology say we're due for a dry week after this passes over," Terence said as he sat in the chair in front of Colin's desk. Colin grunted. "Meteorology didn't say this lot was expected." True, Terence consulted a file in his neural mnemonics. The geological engineers up at Kenyon have finished their preliminary survey. They are ready to move on to more extensive drilling for the biosphere cavern. He datavised the report over to Colin. Kenyon was the 12-kilometre diameter stony iron asteroid that had been knocked into orbit 112,000 kilometres above Lalonde by a series of nuclear explosions. When Lalonde's first stage of development was complete, and the planetary economy was up and functioning without requiring any additional investment, the LDC wanted to progress to developing a space industry station cluster. That was where the real money lay, fully industrial worlds. And the first essential for any zero-G industrial stations was an abundant supply of cheap raw material which the asteroid would provide. The mining crews would tunnel out the ores, literally carving themselves a habitable biosphere in the process. Unfortunately, now Kenyon was finally in place after its 15-year journey from the system's asteroid belt, Colin doubted he had the budget even to maintain the geological engineering team, let alone pay for exploratory drilling. Transporting new colonists into the continental interior was absorbing funds at a frightening rate, and the first thing an asteroid settlement needed was a reliable home market as a financial foundation before it could start competing on the interstellar market. "I'll look into it later," he told Terence. "But I'm not making any promises. Somebody jumped the gun on that one by about 20 years. The asteroid industry project looks good on our yearly reports. Moving it into orbit is something you can point to and show the board how progressive you're being. They know it doesn't make a dollar while it's underway, but as soon as it's here in orbit, they expect it to be instantly profitable. So I'm lumbered with the bloody thing while my cretinous predecessor is drawing his standard pension, plus a nice fat bonus for being so dynamic while he was in office. The auditors should have caught this, you know. It's going to be another 50 years before these mud farmers can scrape together enough capital to support high technological industries. There's no demand here." Terence nodded, handsome features composed into a grave expression. "We've authorized start-up loans for another 8 engineering companies in the last 2 weeks. Power bike sales are healthy in the city, and we should have an indigenous 4-wheel drive Jeep within another 5 years. But I agree, large-scale consumer manufacturing is still a long way off." "Ah, never mind," Colin sighed. "You weren't the only one who authorized Kenyon. If they just stop sending us colonists for 6 months, allow us to catch our breath. A ship every 20 days is too much, and the passage fees the colonists pay don't cover half of the cost of sending them upriver. Once the starship's been paid for, the board doesn't care. But what I wouldn't give for some extra funds to spend on basic infrastructure instead of subsidizing the riverboats. It's not as if the captains don't make enough." "That was something else I wanted to bring up. I've just finished accessing the latest schedules, Fleck, from the board. They're going to send us 5 colonist carrier starships over the next 70 days.
"Typical." Colin couldn't even be bothered with a token protest.
I was thinking we might ask the riverboat captains to take more passengers each trip. They could easily cram another 50 on board if they rigged up some awnings over the open decks. It wouldn't be any different from the transients' dormitories, really.